it. He chucked a pine cone at One Eye. One Eye barely twitched. He's got liabilities enough. Let sleeping sorcerers lie. One Eye sat up. He slurred, "I heard that, kid." Then he collapsed again. I said, "I think I'll leave him here and take the other one back on the stretcher." An idea which proved popular immediately. Not even One Eye came out against it. He was busy snoring again. There was no evidence that Howler had moved an inch since his fall. There was just the hole where he'd gone into the snow, and at its bottom, about 8 feet deep, a bundle of dark rags. A light dust of loose snow had blown in on top of him.
"Hey! Look in here!"
A soldier called from maybe 30 feet away up the slope past Howler.
"What you got?"
I asked. I wasn't walking 10 feet if I didn't have to.
"Looks like a dead wolf."
I worked my way up there. "Some bitch, guys."
"He found a dead wolf."
I knelt. Looks like I got caught by a shadow. Evidence on the slope suggested that it had been sneaking toward Howler when bad luck got in its way. Then it had tried to run. It hadn't been alone, of course, but the tracks indicated a very small pack. "I didn't know they had wolves down here," somebody said. "Now you do." The death of the wolf didn't seem critical, except to tell us that a shadow had been around here last night and might still be hiding somewhere nearby. "Be careful if you're anywhere that's dark." I went back down to check Howler. He hadn't moved. Of course. "He alive?" Swan asked. Blade suggested, "Get a long stick and poke him." I said, "Let's dig him out." "That's smart. He won't do anything till we get him out of the hole. I would not have in his position. Always let some other fool do the work if he insists." The snow was old snow. Its surface had melted and refrozen numerous times. It was hard and heavy. Luckily, Howler wasn't really 8 feet under. He'd passed through 8 feet of snow, but that snow lay on a steep hillside and was only about 4 feet thick going in at the most direct angle. I had a notion. "Don't scatter that stuff too far. We might want to use some." "There ain't exactly a shortage," Swan grumbled. Ty Day, I noted, never offered to help. He stood back with his hand on his sword, alert, One Eye cocked toward One Eye. Perhaps his impulses were evil. His vigilance proved unnecessary. As the more daring men brushed snow off Howler, one of them announced, "He's froze solid!" A huge sigh of relief ripped through the crowd. "Excellent," I observed. "Here's what we'll do then." An hour later, we had the little wizard tied to a carrying pole, packed inside a layer of snow 6 inches thick. "Just to keep him from spoiling on the way," I told the guys, some of whom had had to give up ragged bits of clothing to help keep the snow around Howler. They all whined and groaned and groused and wanted to know why we couldn't just pack him in with the other one. They were going to break One Eye's heart. They didn't love him anymore. Chapter 75.
"Use this salve," Croker told me, "and try to keep it as clean and dry as you can."
I was walking bow-legged before we got back. I scowled at One Eye, who was seated on the floor near Croker's fire, not saying a word. He looked like he wished we would let him fall asleep for a year, so the pain would go away. He was still in such bad shape that he didn't have energy enough